As you see in your bulletin, the scripture reading is from John chapter 11. In the bulletin it says 1 to 44. Well, that's a long reading, and as I got further into my preparation for today's message, I was able to divide that into verses 1 to 7 and then 17 to 44. So I'm going to spare you 10 verses, and as I read through the scripture, I will let you know when I am skipping ahead to verse 17. John 11, beginning at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, him who you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. And now jumping ahead to verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to Jesus, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary her sister, saying, The teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, She is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, See how he loved him? And some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus groaned again in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Loose him and let him go. Pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Jesus loves you. I hope everyone here knows that. Today you will see how Jesus loves you through the way that he loved three others, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They are good examples of Jesus' love, and they may hold a few surprises along the way that will give you a deeper understanding of how Jesus loves you. Looking at how Jesus loves these three, you will understand what a sign over my living room doorway says, Jesus knows me, this I love. It's a little play on words, but it exposes an important truth. Love isn't an emotion, it is an exercise of a person's will. 1 Corinthians 13 teaches you this clearly. It starts by telling you that love is long-suffering and kind. That is a very clear statement of knowing someone so you know how to love them. Jesus will show you this in his love for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Each showing he knows them and expresses love to them in a way that each one will understand. In that, you will see how Jesus knows and loves you. John wrote this account after the events had happened. That's expressed here when John identifies Mary as the one who anointed Jesus' feet, but that's not told until the next chapter, chapter 12 of his gospel. John's perspective in telling you these events is seeing them as the means from the end, giving you better understanding of the steps along the way. It is a good way to unfold the truth of Jesus' love for you. Just so you don't miss the center of the event, John starts by telling you three times, in three sentences, Lazarus is sick. The first time he establishes the state of Lazarus' health. The second time he tells you Lazarus has been sick and is still sick. This is an ongoing situation, not an improving situation. The third time is a clear and authoritative statement that Lazarus is sick, that he is weak. I think it's fair to say John is telling you Lazarus is very sick. Lazarus is near the point of dying. There was no mistaking Lazarus' condition. It's clear Jesus, Lazarus, and his sisters understand the gravity of the situation. Jesus had been in Jerusalem near Bethany, the home of these three, and he had gone back north to Galilee, escaping an attempt to stone him to death. He was there when Mary and Martha sent him an urgent message. The one whom you love, we would say Lazarus, is sick. It is a message filled with love. The sisters' love for Jesus, Jesus' love for them, Jesus' love for Lazarus, Lazarus' love for Jesus, and the sisters' love for Lazarus. This is the foundation on which John tells you of Jesus' love for you. You learn another thing in these opening verses, which is supported later in the account. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus apparently are wealthy. You are told that Mary will anoint Jesus with a costly perfume. There is no indication in that account it was a financial difficulty for the family. Rather, some criticized its use by Mary. Then you are told the sister sent a messenger. One of them didn't have to go, but they could afford to send someone with the news, really an unspoken request for Jesus to come, by a messenger. Later you will learn that Lazarus was buried in a tomb covered by a stone. This indicates a measure of wealth. Joseph of Arimathea, a wealthy man, provided such a tomb for Jesus after his crucifixion. Having a degree of wealth, you can fairly assume whatever medical help available near them, and you say, were there doctors? Well, Luke was a doctor. Whatever help was available near them had been employed, but Lazarus hadn't improved. It's likely that Jesus was not the first course of treating Jesus, of treating Lazarus, but his condition deteriorated quickly, and so a message was sent to Jesus. One expects or hopes that he would come, and come quickly. When Jesus receives the message, which seems to have been delivered so that all with him heard it, he tells them the sickness is not for death. It's not going to conclude in death. It will show the glory of God. You learn in Romans the wages of sin is death. However, in this instance of Lazarus' death, Jesus makes it clear that it is not Lazarus' sin that caused this death, but rather it is for the glory of God. God's glory is expressed through love. John made that very clear in John 3:16. God's love sent Jesus to bring redemption and eternal life. John also tells you in his first epistle, God is love. What Jesus is telling those with him is Lazarus will experience God's love in a way that will glorify God, and Jesus will be glorified through it, though he says, the Son of God. Not referring to the glory of a man, the glory of his human nature. Lazarus will be the means to glorify God. When Jesus loves you, you show the glory of God. Lazarus teaches you this. Now the most curious thing follows. John now affirms that Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. What happens next might make you wonder. If you love someone who was sick, was as sick as Lazarus, you would likely do your best to go to them. You would expect someone who loves you to come to your bedside. You would particularly expect that if you knew that person could heal you. So it's curious. John tells you, because Jesus loved these threes, he didn't go directly to them. John tells you Jesus loved them, so because of that, he stayed where he was two more days. Okay, you're thinking, that doesn't add up. That doesn't make sense. This is an odd way to show love. Perhaps you believe it unthinkable for Jesus not to go immediately. It seems opposite everything you perceive love to be and to do. Nevertheless, John states, Jesus loved all three of them, so he delayed. As the event unfolds, you realize Mary and Martha thought or expected Jesus would come right away. They believed Jesus could heal their brother. They didn't ask him to come. They believed Jesus' love for Lazarus would compel him to come. Or perhaps they didn't want to ask Jesus to return so soon after the crowd tried to stone him. They certainly believed that Jesus could have healed Lazarus without coming to Bethany. He'd done that for others. Yet Lazarus wasn't healed. He died. One commentator paints a picture of the sisters looking down the road in anticipation of Jesus coming to them. You can feel the anxious moments as Lazarus slipped into death and their sense of loss, and maybe worse, since Jesus had not come to them. Was Jesus testing their faith? Was this a trial to show how weak their faith was? Was Jesus stretching their trust in him? How was this an action of love? But you will see the answers to these things as you look at Jesus' words and actions at Bethany. Let me say, first of all, you probably know what your reaction to Christ's delay would be. So be careful thinking these things in this account, because your faith, and mine, is so weak that when you break a shoelace, you think your faith is being tested. And I want to say that's especially true if you're heading to a preaching engagement and it's Sunday morning and you're tying your dress shoes and the shoelace breaks. But to think that is not a good reflection of your faith in Jesus' love for you. And seeing how this is an expression of love for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, you will learn more of God's love through Jesus for you. Let's take a deeper look. There is more dialogue, which I didn't read, which teaches other important things, but they are not the point of today's message. Ultimately, Jesus tells those with him, Lazarus is dead. This can only make them wonder even more why they had delayed 2 days. In the end, if you do the math revealed here, you will realize by the time the messenger arrived to tell Jesus that Lazarus is sick, Lazarus is dead. That isn't the reason for Jesus' delay. You would want to comfort those you love, but it does clearly indicate that Jesus' love for his three friends was best demonstrated and given by waiting. There was a scene around the two sisters when Jesus does arrive. Bethany is just under 2 miles from Jerusalem, and you were told a number of Jews had come to comfort Martha and Mary. This again tells you there was some prominence associated with this family. Now, mourning was a very formal affair, and it followed strict rules. It was rehearsed to some degree. It was expected and in a manner required, to the point of having rules if enough people didn't come to mourn. Specific words were to be spoken, and an arrangement of the mourners was detailed. It's fair to say some were keen to stay friends with this well-to-do family, and so they came to perform their duty. They may have felt sorrow for the sisters, but it would be hard to tell since mourning was so well-defined. Mechanical comes to mind. Perfunctory. Perhaps well-intentioned. It was considered required, and so many saw it as a good work, done as much for their benefit as for those they came to comfort. To some degree, it was a spectacle. Martha and Mary don't seem to be comforted by these mourners. The sisters were befuddled why Jesus hadn't responded in some fashion to the message that they sent. They both would leave the mourners in what ensues. The mourners did not give peace to the souls of those who loved Lazarus. They are a great contrast to the love Jesus exercises in bringing peace, comfort, and ultimately joy to the three that he loved. When he arrives, he finds that Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Jesus delayed his return to Bethany long enough to make it 4 days. The 4 days Lazarus was dead fall under the reason given for Jesus' delay, because Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus had raised the son of the widow of Nain and the daughter of Jairus. He was even delayed long enough on going to Jairus' house that the daughter who was sick had died. Jesus took pity on the parents of these two, but he didn't have the same relationship with them that he did with this family in Bethany. Neither of these instances drew the attention surrounding the resurrection of Lazarus. Ultimately, it is the straw that caused the leaders of the Jewish people to want to kill Jesus and also to plot to kill Lazarus. The 4 days allowed word of Lazarus' death to be known in Jerusalem, and many came from Jerusalem to mourn with the sisters. Unlike the earlier two resurrections, time allowed news of Jesus' friend's death to be known in the circle of Jesus' enemies. Yet this is not mentioned as the reason for Jesus' delay. It was, we were told, because he loved this family. Jesus' delayed return removed any doubt that Lazarus was indeed dead. It would have allowed Martha and Mary time to be immersed deeply into the mourning ritual that was practiced in those days. It would have allowed despair and reality of the loss of Lazarus to take hold of the sisters. This set the scene for Jesus to show his love to all three of them and teach you the wonder of his love for you. Now, your expectation from the account where Martha is occupied with the duties of entertaining and criticizing Mary for sitting at Jesus' feet is that Mary would be the first to respond to Jesus' arrival. But that is not the case. Martha hears that Jesus is coming and she goes to meet him before he enters the town. It tells you something about the nature of Martha, and it is seen in her conversation with Jesus. It will expose Jesus' love for Mary and how he loves you. Martha's nature of taking care of things that are done properly and being critical of Mary left her looking the spiritual inferior of the two sisters in the other account. Here you see her personality is not flawed, but is put to purpose in her words to Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. She puts practicality to faith. She understands responsibility and she recognizes that Jesus is a responsible person. She says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Not only is she recognizing the power and authority of Jesus, she recognizes the propriety of Jesus, that he would have healed Lazarus. She knew of many others he had healed, many he had just met, but he loved Lazarus, and surely he would have healed him. It is hard to imagine, though, when you think about it, a clearer or stronger expression of faith. Though she speaks of healing, her further expression can only be understood to contain at least the hint, a glimmer of hope, that even now Jesus could restore life to her brother. Jesus assures her Lazarus will rise again. She does believe in the resurrection of the dead at the last day. This is her hope for eternity. But here, even now, is not looking at that element of her faith. Jesus responds to her confirmation of the resurrection of the dead at the last day, but Jesus has heard the even now. He has come to this moment, even now, to show Martha his great love to her. In telling her, he tells you of his great love for you. He tells you he came to love you this way. Jesus tells Martha that he is, and not just what he, Jesus tells Martha what he is and not just what he does. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus doesn't just bring resurrection and life. He is resurrection and life. Believing in him is believing in resurrection and life. It is believing you will never die and you will live eternally. It says physical death is not the end. It is really the beginning. Death may take you from this life, but Jesus is the resurrection. He takes you from death to life. He is the life that never dies. What it will cost him soon, after this event, and what he has suffered every day since his conception, is the price of love he paid for Martha and for you. It is the most personal expression of love that can ever be given. And Jesus gave it to Martha so that you will know it too. And he asks Martha, and you, do you believe this? Here is the great reason Jesus delayed his coming to Martha. It is the expression of Jesus' love for Martha and for you. For if you do not believe, then you have lovingly been shown what is needed. Martha's love for Jesus is now given opportunity for the beautiful expression of faith. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Jesus' delay allowed the conversation between himself and Martha. And so doing, Martha gave a wonderful, amazing, really, expression of her faith and what all faith in Christ should express. Martha expresses a sound, deep faith that is well established. She expresses her faith, which is not shallow, but profound. It has content. It is not emotional. It is, in fact, doctrinal content. Her faith expresses her belief that Jesus is the promised one, God with us. I think the commentator Leon Morris puts it best. He says, taken together, these three affirmations give us as high a view of the person of Christ as anyone may have. Martha should be known to us from this moving declaration rather than from her worst moment of criticism and fretfulness. You see, Jesus' love for Martha allowed her to restore the substance of her faith here, for all to know her and for what she believed. This is the love of Jesus, giving you the opportunity, after failure upon failure, to come to Him and reaffirm your faith and love for Him as He did here for Martha. What a wonderful gift of love. It shows you how Jesus first loved you. Martha then sends Mary to Jesus, but the mourners follow her, and there is not the chance for a private conversation. She acknowledges His love for them by stating her brother would not have died if Jesus had been there. Mary has shown and will show again in chapter 12 of John her great love for Jesus because of His great love for her. Jesus is about to show her how much He loves her by giving her brother back to her, healed and healthy. When Mary comes and the others follow, there is much emotional outpouring. There is weeping everywhere, and in fact you are told that Jesus wept. Now Jesus did not weep for the reason the others wept. They wept because of Lazarus' death. Jesus will restore Lazarus' life. Jesus wept for love. He may have wept for the two sisters who suffered the loss of their brother, but some suggest, and I think it a fair notion, that Jesus wept because of the sin that brought all this sorrow to men. He wept for He knew that he must do to redeem sinful men, to restore life, eternal life, to those who would believe. He wept because of the grief that sin brought to those He loved. Now He would show His love to Martha and Mary by restoring their brother. This is the hope that Jesus gives you, that you will not die eternally, but live the fullest life, life in Jesus, that can only be experienced in the life to come. There is no greater love of man that one would lay down his life for another. This is what Jesus would do. He wept because it was an expression of the love that He came to give. Well, what about His love for Lazarus? How did Jesus' delay show His love to Lazarus? A Christian recording artist a while back wrote a song about Lazarus' death and resurrection. It was based on the Bible's clear teaching that the soul does not die when the body physically dies. Another commentator simply said of the soul of Lazarus after he died, wherever it wasn't with the body. Well, the recording artist suggests, and I think the Bible supports his thoughts, that Lazarus was with the boys. Hebrews tells you there is a cloud of witnesses, great believers from the Old Testament. It is plausible that Lazarus was with Noah, Abraham, Moses, Daniel, the prophets, David, and others. They were experiencing the joy of the Lord perfectly. What a wonderful, loving gift to give to someone that you love. Or perhaps Lazarus was a member of the cloud of witnesses, watching Jesus show his love to his sisters, especially with Lazarus' return to them just happening. One must imagine Lazarus didn't want to come back when he heard Jesus say, "Lazarus, come forth." His death had shown him Jesus' love in a way not possible in the here and now. It was Jesus' love, though, that Lazarus responded to Jesus' command. His soul returned to his body, and he came hopping out of the tomb. Now, he may not have remembered that time, but nevertheless, it was a great gift of love, and from our perspective, the restoration of life, the gift of love returning Lazarus to his sisters, is really beyond our ability to calculate. The same redeeming love is how Jesus loves you. Jesus shows his love to you in all of these things. He teaches you to trust in him, to believe his love for you, as he has demonstrated it here for these three he loves. He has given you not only the assurance of your faith's endurance and refreshment in the lives of the sisters, he has also taught you the truth of his promise to you that he is the resurrection and life, the very embodiment, not just the giver, but the very substance by raising Lazarus from the dead. The fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God teaches you that you do not merit this kind of love. It teaches you that your self-love is something other than true love, unselfish love, done for the benefit of others and done to show the glory of God. The lesson Jesus teaches you here, and really the lesson that the Bible teaches you, is simple. Jesus loves you. Pray with me. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, three simple words that mean everything to us. Jesus loves you. We believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We believe that we will have life everlasting, for our life will be in Jesus. It will be a glorious and grand life that we cannot even begin to imagine in the here and now. We thank you that you loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and that you have taught us of your love for them and the things that this passage from John teaches us. And so help us to leave here today rejoicing in the knowledge that Jesus loves you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.